turn our mind to thinking of partaking of the Lord's Supper and think of Christ's crucifixion on the cross, we could spend some time this morning looking at all the sin that was around the events involving Christ's crucifixion. Many things we could enumerate. Consider the hatred of the leaders of the Jews, the way they saw it. Jesus certainly saw it and spoke of the fact that the leaders of the Jews hated him, and the hate led to the actions. Think of the envy. Pilate certainly recognized that the leaders of the Jews were envious of Jesus and what was coming about with him. There was certainly love of money. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The lying that took place in the sham trials that occurred, the false witnesses that were used against Jesus. All these sins did occur, and we could spend time on that. But there were other sins, more important sins, that were involved, or maybe not more important, but certainly many other sins involved in why Jesus had to be crucified. The sin of Adam, the sin of David, the sin of Saul before he became Paul, the sin of Peter, the sin of myself, the sin of you. All of our sins are why Christ died for us. All sins require the crucifixion of Christ. Adam and Eve were the first to sin, and with that, there became a consequence for the sin. That consequence is death and separation from God. God gave man a gift, though, that allows us to be reconciled so that that death, that spiritual separation and spiritual death and complete separation from God can be eliminated, that we can be reconciled back to God. Paul spoke of this offense and this gift in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, just as though one man sin, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered through the offense that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it says in verse 12, sin and death came into the world through one man. And now death is for all men because all have sinned. We are not guilty of Adam's sin, but we have all sinned, and we are all going to be judged by the same judgment. The condemnation of sin is death. But the free gift, verse 15, is not like the offense. Whereas all will sin and all will die, it is through one man's death that grace can be shown, that the gift can be shown and be over the offense of all. The grace of God and the free gift through one man, Jesus Christ, is abundant to many. All men can have the free gift if we respond appropriately. Verse 16 tells us that the offense brought condemnation. The sin that we have brings condemnation, but the gift brought justification. even though there were many offenses, all men have sinned except Jesus. But even with all of our offenses, his one gift brought justification for all. This has continued to be emphasized in verses 17 through 21. The point is that Christ died for all. His death was justification, and the grace that came through it was for all men, no matter the sin that we have. But he had to die for us. We see that now. Well, why? Because his love for us was great. God loved us and wanted us to be saved. We can look back and see that his death was necessary and that he willingly gave himself for us. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Christ died for us while we were sinners. God sent his son to the world and gave his life so that he would give his life on the cross, dying for us while we were sinners. But we have been reconciled through his death. That death was on the cross. That death was the crucifixion of Christ. Christ was buried and he rose again. And through the demonstration of that power, we can be confident in the salvation and the reconciliation that comes through Christ's death. We partake in Christ's death, and as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, we need to be mindful of the elements that we're taking, the bread, which is Christ's body, which hung on the cross, and the blood, which was shed for our sins. We need to be mindful what that death was for. It was the death of Christ so that he would be buried and that he would rise again to overcome death, so that we could overcome death. We die spiritually when we sin, but we can be reconciled because of his death. We rise again a new man, as we read in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." And for that, we can be grateful, and we should be mindful of what Christ's crucifixion has done for us as we consider the fact that we would be separated from God in our sins if he had not died for us. But he did go to the cross. He did suffer through the horrible torture that it was, dying for us so that his blood could be shed for our sins, that we could be washed free in baptism through him, to partake in his death and then to partake in the resurrection. The resurrection which he has demonstrated as a power over death, and that our resurrection as a new man in Christ, in God, we can be that new man. We can remember that, and we should remember that each and every Lord's Day as we partake of these elements.